VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, we do thank you for joining us today. We've got some important information for you. Congress, they're getting all geared up right now for their August recess. And in so doing, there is an all-out effort that's being made to pass the so-called infrastructure legislation before their break. Now, there's versions in which there is this compromise legislation, but they can't get the filibuster-proof vote on this. But they've also got this other piece of legislation that comes with the price tag of some $3.5 trillion. And get this, folks, it's a budget resolution that's not been fully drafted, and legislators are being asked to vote on this. I mean, Senator Lindsey Graham called it a power grab. That may be the dumbest idea in the history of the White House and Senate, he said, while there's a border crisis unfolding. He said it'll lead to the breakdown of law and order beyond what you see today. Others are warning that will absorb suburbs into cities. So we've got a lot to unpack today. And with us, Tom DeWeese, president of American Policy Center, one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, and American sovereignty and independence while protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's the author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property and Individuals, and the political novel Erased. Tom, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Jim, always.
So why we see here is this liberal wish list that's being put together under the guise of infrastructure. It's legislation, Tom, has very little to do with roads and bridges, which we know we need some help on our roads and bridges, but there's a whole lot to do with what I see as collapsing the infrastructure of the freedoms of our nation.
That's absolutely true. What they're creating is an infrastructure for a new top-down control. We have other words for that. Communism comes to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the infrastructure they're creating, and it has nothing to do with the things, as you mentioned, that you know we're used to when they talk about infrastructure, which is solid buildings and so forth, and roads and all that, bridges, and that's not what we're talking about here.
Right. So many details we understand yet are not written. They're just a framework. But under this guise of infrastructure, they have a good deal that of this legislation they're calling human infrastructure. They're talking about adding amnesty to this, Tom. They're talking about adding the Green New Deal. There's federally controlled universal preschool, taxpayer-subsidized child care, free community college, low-income housing. I saw a column by John and Andy Schlafly who calls this socialism on steroids.
Yeah, they're building, you know, this whole new society, and we have to create the citizens who are going to live in it to be the perfect global village idiots. And so the school system is the construction of that, and how we live, where we live, how our jobs are, all of that kind of thing, that's the infrastructure that they are looking at completely redoing the United States.
Now, the carrot for all this is there's always a carrot. It's so-called free money for states. But with that free money always comes federal controls, Tom, as you know, and as you've shouted that loud and clear many times. But we understand that there is a plan, and this is also something you're very well versed on, that would actually destroy suburbs by furthering the radical regulations that we've seen previous. I mean, we're talking about the affirmatively further fair housing, in which these suburbs really lose control of zoning and development, single-family zoning, et cetera.
Yeah. One of the main targets of this total restructuring of the United States is to get rid of private property rights. And the suburbs, the zoning to protect single-family homes has been, over the last couple of years, it's been a major target. In fact, Oregon was the first state to actually pass legislation to eliminate zoning protection of single-family homes. The mayor of Minneapolis said that single-family home zoning is racist because these are people who are self-segregating themselves from people they don't want to live next to. And so, you know, they've been attacking it that way all along. A couple of 3 years ago in Baltimore, the NAACP filed a lawsuit against the city about where Section 8 housing was. They said all Section 8 housing is going into the same area, government-controlled, you know, low-income, fair housing is the word they use. And they said it's all in the same area, and golly gee, this creates ghettos. And so it's only fair. Here are all these beautiful suburbs around and people in these single-family homes, and it's not fair that those people live there, but our you know, other people have to live in these Section 8 housing. So we need to move that Section 8 housing up there so they all have the same opportunities, closer to the jobs and, you know, so on and so forth. That's the argument they've used. They won that lawsuit, and the city of Baltimore is spending millions of taxpayer dollars to build these fair housing projects in those neighborhoods. And the other thing they did in that lawsuit is they filed suit against landlords, saying landlords could not ask potential tenants if they can afford the rent. That is racist. And this attack on landlords, as this stuff is going together, is one of the great dangers. They're going to go out of business.
You know what's interesting, too, again, because I saw in prepping for this program today about Maxine Waters, a congresswoman, who's also proposing a race-based down payment program be included in this infrastructure legislation that would give black people more federal aid than white people to make down payments on homes. And there are critics that are bringing charges saying this is reverse racism and threatening lawsuits with this.
Yeah, we've been fighting the reverse racism issue for a long time. The other thing is the environmental racism. This is the big one that they have been pushing for a few years. In fact, I remember one day getting a call from a congressional office when it first popped up. This was quite a while back, saying, "Can you tell us what environmental racism is?" Never heard of that before. What they mean is that lower income neighborhoods are often in the areas where there are factories and industrial operations going on, and it's just not fair that they're living there and next to these things. So,
Tom, you just released an article today. It's called "The Gospel of Climate Change is Smart Growth Racist," and you've started to touch on this, but I'd like you to tell us about this United Nations-sanctioned NGO called the Temple of Understanding.
Yeah, this there's an organization behind that called the National Religious Partnership for the Environment. They've been around since earlier in the 1990s, and their goal is to take all religions and bring them together under one umbrella, so that and have the environment as their main focus. And they have in this the National Council of Churches, the U.S. Catholic Conference, the Coalition on the Environment and Jewish Life, the Evangelical Environmental Network. All of these have come together under this Temple of Understanding and this Religious Partnership for the Environment. And, you know, climate change is the new religion,
mm-hmm.
is what they're really pushing there. And, so, you know, and what they're doing now, I mean, they've been doing this for 20 some years, and now they are, you know, moving forward with the whole woke propaganda agenda, to literally create victimhood and divide the races and that sort of thing. This is coming out of these people's churches.
Folks, they're teaming up with a number of churches to promote a very leftist doctrine through this. And, Tom, you mentioned National Council of Churches just a bit ago, but tell us about this adult education curriculum that they're producing.
Yeah, this is coming from the National Council of Churches, and it's called African Americans and Climate Change. That's the title of it. And what this is a completely facilitated we've talked about facilitated meetings and so forth, how they know what the outcome is going to be from the beginning, and they have a professional facilitator who's trained in psychology and how to do all this, who guides the group to this preordained outcome. And what this does, it talks very specifically about bringing people together, and this is for black church members. And it says African Americans are disproportionately impacted by climate change. That's the main line that they're using here. The class first asks the question. They want everybody to write on a piece of paper this statement: African Americans in particular should be concerned about the issues of climate change. And then they're to put an X next to, do they strongly agree or strongly disagree? What that means is that the facilitator now knows where everybody stands and how he knows how to work on the various individuals to move them in the right direction. And then they start moving forward with a whole series of statements all about climate change and they're really focusing on climate change has a direct impact on ministry in our churches. And what they have here is this list of these questions, and they're supposed to, people in the audience are supposed to answer true or false of these lines. And that's what they say. Climate change has a direct impact on ministry in our churches. And it says in the book, true.
Wow.
And I'm still trying to figure out what does that mean, you know. But and another one, climate change does not impact the cost of housing. Well, that's false under their teaching here. And that unemployment and economic hardship associated with climate change will fall most heavily on the African-American community. Well, that is true.
My.
On it goes.
Yeah,
like
they're
this.
Stating it's true.
Yeah, they're stating it's true. That, mm-hmm. this, and this is where they're leading and directing them. Well, what's interesting about this, as I read through the whole thing, and, you know, all their stands on climate change are absolutely false. And we, you know, the majority of scientists agree with this and so forth. It's absolutely not true. And I've been fighting for that for years. But where they start to make the impact is here are the African Americans, the urban poor, living in the inner cities. And they keep making the case that urban areas are typically covered in services with asphalt and concrete, and they retain heat. It's much hotter there. That means that there's more disease. That means it's more miserable to live there. And this has to be changed. Well, as I read this, I began to find it very interesting. Because for years, I've been fighting smart growth programs. The smart growth programs in every city in this country, you look outside, you're going to see it. The high-rise buildings downtown, moving everybody out of the urban areas, because that's urban sprawl. We don't want to have development outside the downtown city area. So we move everybody into the middle of town. We build these high-rise stack and packs, and we get rid of cars. You're going to walk to work, ride your bike to the grocery, do public transportation. And I started thinking, wait a minute, if living in the lower income in the urban areas is hot with asphalt and concrete and dangerous to your health, the very program that they push the most, smart growth programs, doesn't that affect everybody?
Yeah.
This is all designed to protect the environment. There's a misdirection here.
And packing more people into the cities themselves.
Exactly. And that's the other thing. We've gone through this whole COVID thing, and in the cities, the biggest populations is where the most of that has taken place, not the rural areas.
We're going to pick up with that after the break. Tom DeWeese is with us here today. Tom is the president of American Policy Center, and yes, so much of this, folks, is all part of the infrastructure bill that the push is going on within Congress to have this passed sooner than later. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the extinction of dinosaurs caused by an asteroid hitting the Earth?
Chris, this is the favorite evolutionary claim that some 65 million years ago an asteroid smashed into the Earth and sent the dinosaurs into extinction. But did you know that a lot of evolutionists deny this? Some are now saying that the dinosaurs were already going into extinction before the asteroid hit. You see, it's really difficult to reconstruct unobserved history. But the Bible gives us the key. The Bible tells us that God created all the animals, including the dinosaurs, during creation week. Most of them were wiped out in the great flood of Noah's day, and the fossils are primarily those animals that died in the flood. Two of each kind survived on board Noah's ark, but many of them, of course, have gone extinct since then. You see, Chris, everything fits into the Back to Genesis view of history.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
Tom DeWeese, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and we're talking about the infrastructure bill and so many different components of that, some of which have not even been drafted, as we have likened this kind of to Obamacare. Let's pass it so we can find out what's in it, because so much of this is just the framework. The concepts are there, but a number of legislators saying you're asking us to vote on something that's not even in print as of yet, and the pressure is there to do it prior to the August recess. Tom DeWeese is with us today from the American Policy Center. And Tom, you're talking about this push to get everybody into the cities and really to decimate the suburbs here. It's bad to live outside the cities is what we're being told today. And yet, haven't we been told that amidst the COVID-19 issue that, hey, maintain social distancing, always keep 6 feet apart, they're trying to push us closer and closer together with this so-called smart growth.
Yeah, the old stack and pack of exactly what they're doing. And, yeah, absolutely. And that's where the most cases have been of that. And that's how they work. Now, one of the things we have here, as I'm looking over this infrastructure bill, is it has provisions that would spend $10 billion to create a civilian climate corps, which would implement the Biden administration in its policies and climate projects. And here it all is. This whole thing is all designed to get everybody in one place, in these stack and packs, downtown, all stacked together. Now they can control your travel, where you go, because they won't have parking places for cars and so forth, and they want to get you out of your cars. They can control the power in each of those buildings. And, we've talked for years about the smart meters and all that sort of thing. Well, this is that on steroids. And so they have you all placed in one place, and they can control every aspect of your life. To make sure that your carbon footprint is reduced in this. The interesting thing about all this, Oregon, as I mentioned, is the first state to actually begin to implement this. Portland, Oregon, has always been the poster child for smart growth programs. They're the first to put the urban growth boundaries around. They put those around the entire city of Portland. If you fly over Portland and you look down on it, you can almost see the boundary because there's no growth outside of that. Well, 20 years after doing that, what they didn't count on was the population grew by 80%, but the ground, the size of the town did not. All of a sudden, the argument now for all of this, getting rid of single-family neighborhoods and zoning and so forth, is that we have a housing shortage. That's a crisis. It is a government-created crisis. Mm-hmm. And they sit there and they use the argument that, well, that place where you live there with your single family home, with your backyard for the kids to play in and your grass and all of that, we could put 100 families in that space. So again, your ability to have your own, build your own life, have your own choices and so forth is racist, is selfish. And, we have a crisis here. They created the crisis.
And indeed, this is a direct assault on private property rights.
We've been saying for years through the United Nations programs, Agenda 21 and all this and Green New Deal and everything, they have said over and over again, we have got to get rid of free enterprise, we have got to get rid of private property, and we've got to assault, people trying to make their own lives on their own way. I mean, I've got quote after quote after quote of these people saying this stuff, and, this is how they do it. And they've always got some kind of an excuse about a crisis and how we've got to think boldly and we've got to move ahead, straight forward. Well, all of this stuff is moving forward, putting this agenda in place, which is destroying our system of government, destroying our system of economics, and our ability to live our lives as we choose.
Tom, while this is going on, we also have coming from the president his 30 by 30 initiative that's calling for placing 30% of all U.S. lands and 30% of waters into conservation status. I saw a release from Americans for Limited Government indicating that could mean an end to private leases on public lands and could eventually lead to a federal land grab of private properties as well.
Yeah, this will control the farming industry. It'll, and what they're able to do on that property, and you know, how that land is used. Again, in a lot of cases, it's pulled out of the tax base for communities. And, you know, back in the 80s when the radical environmental group Earth First came up with a wildlands project, their goal was that 50% of all the land in every state would be locked away. Well, here it is now. There's 30 by 30, 30% of all the land by 2030 is what that means. And they're just slowly implementing, not even slowly, they're moving forward with all of these agendas. But it's an absolute attack on private property. It's an we already have the situation with, for example, the beef industry and the cattlemen being dictated to by the World Wildlife Fund and their Sustainable Beef Roundtable on how they can grow their products and raise their cattle and so forth. And it puts a lot of these guys out of business because it's not economically feasible. And so our food supply is at stake here, and you know, plus our entire economy. Everything is at stake, and this is like a, you take a communist handbook, how they've done it over all the decades that communism has existed. They are putting it in place piece by piece. And the one thing that goes along with all that is it has never, ever worked. It has brought destruction. It has brought pain and misery and death. And this is exactly the program that they're putting in place today.
Tom, earlier you and I were talking, and you made the indication that all these things you've been talking about and warning about for years, it's all happening so fast. It's all happening within 6 months, virtually. All the things that you have been, you know, devoted your life to, warning about and telling about and pushing for, that all of this under attack, great attack, within the 6 month period.
I think they realize that they have got to get it all in place. They've got to control everything, because if we are able to have a fair and honest election, they're gone. They're toast. They're history. And they know that. And their goal is to get all of this in place and make sure we never have another honest and free, fair election. But, you know, they know that the forces are coming for them if they've got to get all these things in place as fast as they can.
I know. Look at the opposition that's coming to having forensic audits done of the voting equipment to be sure that you know this equipment is working as it should be, or recounting ballots. I mean, there's great opposition. Should we not all be unified in wanting to have free and fair, honest elections?
Yeah, and the arguments that they use against the bills that different states are passing to guarantee that are just absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
But they, and as you say, these attorney generals in some of these states and other forces are fighting, and Arizona and others are fighting with everything they've got to stop any kind of anybody overlooking this to see if everything's on the up and up and honest.
Well, Tom, with some of these land issues, even like the 30 by 30 initiative, we understand that there are more than 70 counties that have passed resolutions opposing the land grab. Will a county resolution hold up to this? I mean, a presidential order or legislation passed by Congress? And I know you have, you know, shouted loud and clear to people, you need to be involved on a local level. Will such, you know, these resolutions and ordinances passed locally stand up against this?
My experience has told me, as I've watched other things take place and so forth, that it will. One of the things, if you watch how they operate, when they run into opposition, it's like a game. All of a sudden, the ball hits the thing. They're going to move in the other direction, and they will. They won't stop. They'll come back in another way, but they will run from opposition if it's strong enough. And I'm seeing that take place in a lot of places, and so I'm encouraged by that. The other thing is, if you have state legislators that understand their constitutional rights and their power, they have the power to stop these things. All of these programs they're putting in place, there's not a word in the U.S. Constitution about any of it. They have no right to tell local communities how they zone their communities and, you know, things are doing.
And this is where, you know, the carrot is dangled out there. We're going to give you this many millions of dollars, but you must do X, Y, and Z. And that is in many kinds of situations to surrender those freedoms that they have, their zoning rights, etc. So they put that out there, and it was just, what was it, today or yesterday, I was looking in our local newspaper, and they're talking about all this money that will come to us under the infrastructure plan. here for the state, but they don't talk about all the little caveats that come along with that, but that's dangled out there. And when you have a conservative legislature says, no, we're not going to take that money, well, then the media rises up and say, you're denying, you know, us all these funds that would better our state.
Yeah, that's always the tactic. I've been advocating for years now to the local communities, don't take the grant money. It is not free money. But every single time somebody tries to follow that and do it right, then the opposition rises up and says, you're cheating the taxpayers of this community out of their own money. And, that's the argument they use. But those grants have that small print in there. You may be getting a grant just because you have a project to fix the sidewalks downtown or something. Well, that grant comes telling you exactly how you're going to do it, and you're also going to implement this program, and this program to go along with it. You didn't even know that was in there in most cases. So, and the other thing that's happening is that HUD began to take a look at communities that were not fully complying to the grant. And they began to file lawsuits against cities in that. And what happens then is federal agents now come in and dictate to your community exactly what it's going to do.
Tom DeWeese is with us here today. Tom, we understand there's great pressure to do something even this very week before the August recess. We have also seen a plan to enact this through budget reconciliation that includes 50 votes and the tiebreaker by the vice president. There are those advocating that they do this to avoid the filibuster rules. It really is imperative for people to reach out to their congressmen and senators, isn't it?
Absolutely. They have got to hear a massive force of voices telling them, do not surrender this. I am very, very disappointed in the Republican Party all over this country as I see them moving, the Democrats and the progressives moving so rapidly to put all this stuff in place, but the Republicans sitting there kind of just not saying anything. In Virginia, in the governor race, we have this guy running for governor nobody ever heard of before, but all of a sudden his whole argument that he's using in his ads is, I was a basketball player, and look, I can still make this hoop.
Oh, my.
You know, and it's nothing there. We're going to have the best economy. We're going to have the best jobs. Really? How? And instead of attacking all these things that are coming at us, they are sitting there twiddling their thumbs. And it is just absolutely disgusting. And then they say they're not raising enough money. The Republicans, I keep getting I'm sure everybody else does, all these duns for money. You know what? If they would stand up and fight, they wouldn't have to worry about that because people would flock to them.
Friends, you can contact your members of Congress, and we're referring to the infrastructure legislation. And if you refer to it, they'll know what you're talking about. The number to Congress, to the House, 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. And to the Senate, it's 202-224-3121. We're going to take a quick break, and friends, we're opening our phone lines. Let's get your reaction to this infrastructure bill that, in my perspective, would collapse freedom. Our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Your questions, your comments, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
From the frontiers of scientific discovery, researchers are now taking design elements from the natural world and creating extraordinary breakthroughs that benefit our health, our quality of life, our ability to communicate, and even help us work more efficiently. Many of these are documented in the book Discovery of Design. In this book, you'll learn how things like batteries, human organ repair, microlenses, and even credit card security all have links to natural designs. You'll learn how innovations like solar panels in space use technology from beech tree leaves, how the study of the leg bone led to the building of the Eiffel Tower, how the study of the timber beetle helped to improve the use of chainsaws. Over 75 such illustrations are given. It's a fantastic journey into the intersection of science and God's blueprints for life. Discovery of Design is available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is with us today. His website is AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. You'll find a lot of tools on this website. Tom, you've done a lot of work, and you've put together a curricula, really, and guidance to help people work through these things and how to actually fight this on the local level. We know that we're talking about a national issue right now for people to contact their congressmen and their House members and Senate members, but you've got a guide even to help people on a local level.
Yeah, we do, and fighting on the local level is absolutely where we can begin to push back and hold off on a lot of these things happening. We have our activist handbook and the toolkit that goes with it that's available on our website, and you can see it there. It's got a lot of stuff in there about how to actually organize. And one of the things we have in the toolkit is a list that's growing now of local organizations that people could maybe get involved with, so they have some people to work with to fight back. So I fully believe that is the way. We call it building a freedom pod. If you can do that in your own community and control, protect your private property rights, protect local businesses, and so forth, you can begin to build prosperity, begin to build success, and you can push back against these policies.
AmericanPolicy.org is the website. And Tom, just before picking up our first call, I know we've got people who are just totally feeling trapped by the system, and it seems they cannot get out of it, and you've got the government doing more and more to keep individuals under their control rather than helping to give freedom to be released from the control of government.
Yeah. We've been talking about people on the poverty level and living in these low income neighborhoods and so forth. And if you take a look at first of all, there is not a single program coming out of these progressive Democrats that advocates how people will get out of poverty. It's just about, well, we got to take care of them. We got to pour more money on them and so forth. And in these smart growth programs, one of the things they do is they decide we're going to redo this entire neighborhood here, and we're going to build this big shiny new bunch of skyscrapers and so forth. Well, there are people in there who own their homes. There are people who have small businesses and so forth. Those bulldozers come in and tear those down. Now they have this new neighborhood they can't afford to live in. They are stuck living in government housing and having their hopes and dreams destroyed. Now they're living in a situation where these government housings, the disrepair is unbelievable. The lights, the air conditioning, the appliances don't work. The roof leaks. The windows are broken. The plumbing backs up. You've got drug dealers there. You've got all kinds of these gangs and all that living in there. Why is that? Nobody cares and nobody fixes it, no matter how much you complain. That's because government is a monopoly and it doesn't care, and these bureaucrats running it don't care. A private property owner does.
Let's go to Troy calling from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Troy, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My question for the speaker is, I understand that that's what's going on, and I'll be really quick and brief. My concern is that with the infrastructure bill that's going on, will this money be used to utilize the roads and help utilities and without for inner city people? And also, will it be used for dumps, for the deep underground bases like there are in Antarctica, and they're using for atmospheric pressures to use that in the name of climate change to change our own climate?
Thank you, Troy. And Tom, I understand the legislation has some to do with roads and bridges, but very, very little.
Yeah, especially when you've got a policy that you want to get people out of the cars in the first place. Where they want to put the money instead is into these high-speed trains and public transportation, all that kind of thing. And so that's where the money will go. They want to discourage you from using your car, so they're not going to do a whole lot to make that better for you.
And promoting the tenets of Green New Deal, I mean, like wind farms and everything, that's just their frosting on their cake.
Oh, absolutely. And you're going to see, and you talk about, first of all, every single thing they've ever advocated practically to protect the environment is actually harmful to the environment. When you have acres and acres and acres of these wind farms and these solar farms, you've got here are all these plastic things out there covering the ground. There's nothing growing underneath there. There's no place for the animals and so forth. And in the wind farms, what you're going to see if all of this stuff is put in place, one thing you'll start to notice is nothing's flying in the air. So, you know, even the Audubon Society calls them Cuisinarts in the air. And this is not helping the environment. And the bottom line is they don't work. They don't supply the power you need in the first place. So it's a total waste of money and effort.
Zoe is calling from Illinois. You're on the air, Zoe.
Hi, Jim. They just put a solar farm thing out here near me, real close to my where my townhouse is. But that's not what I called about. When we talked to our congressman about this infrastructure bill, I tuned in kind of late. Do we ask him to oppose the entire bill or part or the smart city part or what part or what do we do?
Mitch McConnell keeps trying to talk about putting a compromise bill together and so forth. There's no compromise for this. You don't compromise with these people because they won't. And
okay.
We need to stop this. There is no need for it. There is no reason for it. And if they would get out of the way, you know, local communities could build their own economies and begin to, you know, help their own infrastructure. We don't need the federal government coming down and clamping all this stuff down. But what we really got to make sure is that they keep the filibuster bill in place. It's the only hope the Republicans have of stopping this stuff because it forces them to have a higher vote than just the 50-50.
Thank you, Zoe.
Appreciate the call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Mac in Navarre, Florida, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Jim. First of all, I'd like to just say we don't understand why 89.5 on the dial, FM dial here in Northwest Florida no longer has Crosstalk. Maybe you can address that sometime, but I actually called just to throw kudos at Tom because I've been opening a lot of people's eyes up to sustainability and telling them how this has been going on for years. And we're seeing it transform our communities down here, too, like the lady said earlier, with the solar panels and all that. But also that, you know, fortunately, we've got a governor here in Florida that has definitely got some gumption about himself. And we need to keep praying for Governor DeSantis because he's a remarkable guy that's doing wonderful things for Florida. But nonetheless, you know, we do understand how all this stuff is working together and smart growth especially. But I'd like Tom to address what he thinks of the rights that we have that are being eroded slowly and incrementally, and they're just being taken away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you one thing. In the past, I worked on a whole lot of different issues like education and personal privacy and that sort of thing. And I made a decision to focus on property rights because as I fought these sustainable policies and all of the Green New Deal, all that kind of stuff, I began to realize that sustainable development policies have a bit of kryptonite in them, and it's a danger to them. They don't want you to know this. That kryptonite is they can't implement sustainable policies without destroying private property. And
well,
so
we have a private property crisis nationally, you know, and I don't understand how the local areas around here get fixed on the miners, majoring in the miners. That's what I keep saying, telling my wife.
Yeah, majoring on the minors and miss the big picture here.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Mac.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Richard in Washington State, you're on the air.
Thanks, Jim. What I have is the Federalist Papers and the Constitution, and Tom did mention the Constitution a couple times, but here's the key. From Federalist 45, the powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined.
Yeah.
Those which are in the state are much greater. The 10th Amendment and that Federalist Papers define this, and what the Democratic Party is communism. It is pure,
okay,
simple communism, and the people of the country do not know the Federalist Papers and they do not know the Constitution. And that's where the solution is to all of this. And the people must be informed, and they must demand that we live within the bounds of the Constitution. Thank you.
That's what I meant when I said state legislatures, a lot of them don't understand their own powers. And when these federal agencies come along with these grant programs and so forth, they think that means they're supposed to cooperate with the federal government, and it doesn't. It means, you know, if they are doing things that are unconstitutional, it's up to those state legislatures to say no. And they can nullify these things. They can do all kinds of things. The Constitution has 17 enumerated powers for the federal government, and not one of them has anything to do with education, protecting the environment, involved in your housing, anything like that. And all of these things are unconstitutional, and these state legislatures and our city councils and our county commissions need to stand strong and say, no, we're not going to comply, and we can stop this stuff.
We've got a couple of lines that have opened up here again. It's number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Dale is next. Go ahead, Dale. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I can piggyback on the last caller with this few and defined and his statement on pure communist. The last two big iconic land grabs were under Stalin and Mao. Their system completely failed, created massive famine, and this shows you how far our government's got out of line, and they are totally out of touch with reality. If they have their way, we'll have the small people, the people, everyday people, having nothing just like they did under Stalin and Mao. And you can bet they'll have their big homes yet and everything, and the upper echelon in those communist countries always did. Think about taking away everyday people's land in their backyards for your kids. It's healthy to have a little land and a space for everybody, and it creates healthy mental development. And I just got off the TV a little while ago, and CBN was running Nancy Pelosi's comment on why get the Jim Jordan and company off that 9/11, the January 6th thing.
Yeah.
Because why waste the time, she says.
Yeah.
Waste the time?
Yeah.
Because
she's got an agenda. And I tell you what, we've only got less than a minute before our next break, so I want Tom to be able to respond here before we take the break. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, yeah, all of this is being put into place step by step. And the thing is, it never once has ever worked anywhere in the world. And the thing that I keep looking at are, you know, these leaders who think they're going to somehow live high on the hog while the rest of us don't. Always in the past, Russia, China, all of that, there was the United States and our economy keeping up the economy of the world so they could have their nice houses and their nice food and their nice cars produced by us. And when you take out the United States, that's not going to exist anymore.
Thank you for the call. Tom DeWeese, our guest, we'll take a quick 60-second break, and then we'll come back to more of your phone calls. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Tom's website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. And if you missed the numbers for Congress, we'll be sure to give those here in our final segment as well, so you can be ready to jot those numbers down. We'll be back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In February of 2018, I used my radio show and TV show to warn that President Barack Hussein Obama and John McCain had worked with Congress to create a commission on military, national, and public service. I warned that they were going to require women to sign up for the national draft, selective service. I also warned their goal would also be to make mandatory community service, where young people to get out of high school would have to do so many hours of community service, but it could only be with an organization approved by the government, not your church. In fact, previous federal legislation said the kids could in no way be involved with religious instruction or leading a worship team or maintaining a church building. What are they doing here? Brainwashing. Now this commission has released its report in March of 2020. Now it's been rolled into the Military Authorization Act and came out of a committee last week. They're now putting it into funding. This is on the verge of happening. Wake up, America.
keeping you informed on critical issues. This is Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Tom DeWeese with us today from American Policy Center, the website AmericanPolicy.org. And right back to the phone lines here. Gary is calling from Ironwood, Michigan. You're on the air, Gary.
Hi, Jim, Tom. I just wrote your associate, Kathleen, the other day about a project that's going on in our town. It's they're tearing up our road, which is used by truck traffic, to turn from four lanes to two lanes and an emergency lane in the middle. Yep. I don't know if that's part of the sustainable development or not, but it's surely disrupting our community.
That's the whole point, that they make it more difficult for you to drive. They have this thing called traffic calming, where they have all kinds of speed bumps down your street and so forth. And it gets, and then you put these bike lanes in and make your roads narrower and more narrower. And pretty soon you sit there and think, I've got to go to the grocery. I don't want to get in the car. That's for them. They don't want you to do that. And they want to get you out of the cars.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, up here we have to have cars because there's nothing else. You know?
You think?
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate the call. Let's go next to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Ann, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I absolutely adore your thinking, Tom. I've always respected it. And I understand you're pointing people towards the local level. But right now, we have had an election stolen from us. And until that is addressed, I agree with you. Where are the Republicans? But I say in the same voice, where are the attorneys of just moral, ethical value? These people are supposed to work for the people. Government by the people. Why can't we get these some treason trials going on? Why can't we come against this, the court systems that are just up? They're moving in lockstep with this movement, which I agree with you is not slow going anymore. This is rapid pace.
Yeah. I share your frustration on that. One of the problems is that for decades, people from our side have not really wanted to get involved in the local and state levels. We've left the playing field wide open for the other side because, frankly, we don't like government. We want to be left alone. And the idea of going to a city council meeting or getting involved in some of these other things is just abhorrent to us in a lot of ways. And the other side knows there's not a single position in the community that isn't something that influences policy, and they go in and grab it, and then we wake up one day and go, what happened here? One of the things they did was they took real good care of the court system and made sure they had their people in there, and you know, why aren't we getting treason trials and having people stand up? Why is it that we can't get the honest elections and so forth? Well, when was the last time we cared about who was on the Board of Elections? When was the last time we paid attention to those things? That's what we have to do. And that's what I mean by building a freedom pod. You have to get involved in all of those things, or this is what's happening to you.
Uh-huh.
But it's already happening, so I'm saying, why can't we get lawyers in, I think it's Austria, are stepping up with this COVID thing and suing countries for crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
Where are our lawyers?
We have to do the dirty work, the groundwork to rebuild. And I know that's not the answer that you want to hear, but that's what's happened. And we haven't done our homework to provide those.
Thank you, Ann, for the call, raising the issue here today. David is next in Pewaukee. You're on the air.
Hi. Boy, when I hear the direction that they're talking about, you know, going to mass transit and so on and so forth, you know, we put these animals into these massive farms and basically keep them contained, feed them, and basically they're just becoming nothing but servants to the state, and that's exactly what they're doing with us. It's like they're herding. They want to herd the masses into the cities, keep them from driving. They're trying to take every possible freedom away from us in every way, shape, and form. I mean, if people can't understand the satanic nature of this, and it's like, you know, people don't want God to interfere. In a sense, God has to interfere, or these people will literally annihilate the freedom of every average person in this country. And if they keep going unchecked, they will achieve it. I mean, we need to be praying that God intervenes, because that's our only hope in this country at this point.
Thank you, David. Appreciate you raising that issue. And, Tom, there is no freedom with communism, is there?
Absolutely none. They anticipate every move, every single thing. They leave no stone unturned. And as I mentioned at the very early part of our conversation here, this attack on the Christian church. And you have a whole lot of them now who are not standing up, not speaking out on these things. And that's another place where we need to start applying pressure in our own churches.
And it's not just silence, Tom, it's complicity. I mean, you know, just falling lock, step, and barrel with that leftist agenda.
Yeah, I mean, this example we had, this was for black churches, but it's also in all churches.
Hmm.
National Council of Churches and so forth, these guys have got to be stopped.
Dot is calling from Kennewick, Washington. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I listen to you guys on an almost a daily basis, and I love listening to it. My comment is, I don't know how many people remember when Khrushchev slammed his shoe on the table and threatened, "We will bury you."
Yep.
Well,
I do. I remember that. And bury you from within.
Yeah, and it did not even fire a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Thank you, Dot, for raising that. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Wisconsin. Pat, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering when Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama will redistrict their private compounds into multi-family zoning.
Yeah. Good point. A lot of hypocrisy there. Thank you for raising that issue. I do want to be sure we get out these phone numbers. Again, your House members, the main switchboard at the House of Representatives is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. The Senate, 202-224-3121. You can go to House.gov as well as Senate.gov to get individual phone numbers. Tom DeWeese with us today. His site, AmericanPolicy.org. Tom, some critical issues before us.
Absolutely. And, yeah, make those phone calls. Let your congressman hear from you. They must feel that pressure. And, you know, we've got to stop these things.
Amen. Thank you, Tom, for being with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And, folks, this infrastructure legislation, in my perspective, would collapse freedom. It certainly is going to, it's targeted to collapse personal property rights and certainly bring in very leftist agenda, things like the Green New Deal and so much more. To bring in socialism, that's what it's all about. Thanks so much for joining us here today. And we echo the comments from previous callers. We got to be praying for this nation. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.